It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Podcasts of the show and the recaps can be found at the website, as well as our most recent podcasts and our op-eds. And you sign up for our weekly newsletter, you'll get first look at all of those things. We'd appreciate it if you'd go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We've got a great show planned for you today. In the first segment, we'll talk with Mike Foss. He is with the Warrior Bonfire Program, which is a really cool program which helps many of our veterans. And we'll chat with him for just a little bit about that. Dr. Jill Vecchio will weigh in on the election in segment two. We'll talk to Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. He's with Presidential Wealth Management. And Dr. Brian Dimitrovic, an economic historian. He is the author with Larry Kudlow of JFK and the Reagan Revolution, and also Econoclast, the Rebels Who Sparked the Supply-Side Revolution and Restored American Prosperity. We'll talk to him about this election. We look at these issues, my friends, as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We are on the precipice of that question at this particular point in time as we are awaiting the results of the election, the presidential election, on Tuesday, as well as to find out about some of these Senate races as well. A very important point in the American history today. And so we'll be chatting about that a little bit later. Always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And I appreciate you listeners as well. You're each treasured, you're valued. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And do your very best. Producer Steve, there is a lot going on out there. It looks to me like the progressive Democrats are trying to steal this election. And that we're talking about votes being counted. And Jenna Ellis was on one of the programs last night. She is an advisor to President Trump, a legal advisor. And she said, I guess actually it was Kayleigh McEnany that I heard her say, we want to make sure that every legal vote is counted. And the Democrats are saying they want every vote counted. And there is a distinction between that, producer Steve.
Oh, no doubt. I think this is these days are not for the squeamish, I guess. And it takes a lot of emotional energy to try to stay on top of what's happening, especially when it's happening across a spectrum of states at different ends of the country. What's going on out west with west of us, Arizona, Nevada, and then all the other states, either mid-America or on the East Coast. And each one of them is their own unique circus. And it's taking so much energy out of me. It's not so much physical energy. It's that emotional energy to wade in, understand what's happening. And again, what is the motivation of the people who are out there blatantly, in my mind, cheating?
It's all about power, Steve. And as I look back at the rhetoric from Nancy Pelosi and from the Democrat leadership, that first of all, this whole thing about that if Donald Trump will not vacate the office, and I think they knew that it might come down to very contested states. And so they put that narrative out there.
Yes.
But they had this in place. Then the narrative, we may not know on Election Day who is the winner. And so they were telegraphing what was going to happen here. But there's been some very interesting, with a capital I, things that have happened. Project Veritas, they do amazing work. They released a video of a Michigan United States Postal Service insider who revealed that he was instructed to separate today's mail-in ballots, which was November 4th, in order to get them stamped as yesterday's mail-in ballots. That way the ballots could be counted for the election. Since Michigan law establishes that the vote casting deadline was last night, that was Tuesday night, it is completely illegal for a USPS supervisor to instruct today's mail-in votes to be counted. And here are some of the highlights from that video. The Michigan USPS insider delivers testimony of shady postmark scheme to hand stamp November 3rd on late ballots. It calls on other post office workers, if they see something shady, to report it. Michigan law forbids votes past 8 p.m. on Election Day. The insider also said, my statement to other postal workers is that if they see anything shady to report it, they can't have any integrity in this country if they just let things slide. He also said, late ballots sorted to a special bin, then collected in express mail bags to be hand-stamped with a bogus November 3rd postmark. And it says that you can watch the video at, I think, Project Veritas. They said it is an outrage that a government institution, and bear in mind the U.S. Postal Service Union, the workers' union, endorsed Joe Biden several months ago. But anyway, it says it's an outrage that a government institution has employees ordering their subordinates to commit voter fraud. As Michigan continues to be a contested state, authorities must investigate this immediately so that voter integrity is preserved in our country. The truth shall prevail, in Veritas, James O'Keefe. Producer Steve, this is astonishing.
Well, again, if you've been paying attention throughout the, let's say, when did the first, the bills that they put together, we've already received some of the money, in light of the virus.
Oh, the CARES Act, all of that.
Okay, yeah. And there were not just millions of dollars, billions with a B, set for the United States Postal Service. And question is, why now? I mean, the Postal Service has been in the red for decades. And all of a sudden now, Nancy Pelosi is jamming in billions of dollars to the USPS in light of, the coming election. I don't get it.
That's an excellent point. And Joe Biden has been in elected office for 47 years. Why hadn't they taken care of any of those problems before? That would be a big question as well. And this is absolutely astonishing that, in fact, there was, 100 and some thousand votes, mail-in ballots that came in Michigan, I believe, and they were 100% for Biden. Now they're looking at, maybe it was a typo. They're not quite sure what that was, but there is really shenanigans going on here. And yes, we want every legal vote to count, but every illegal vote that counts, my friends, basically disenfranchises your legal vote. And we have to ask, what party is trying to disenfranchise your vote? And whether or not you are Democrat, independent, unaffiliated, libertarian, Republican, conservative, no matter where you fall on that scale, if in fact someone is trying to disenfranchise your vote by counting illegal votes, that is great cause for concern. We are at a precipice here, because the choice that we have is freedom, the American idea, or going down the road of socialism. And socialism is not about free stuff, my friends. That is the carrot that they use to get you to vote for socialism.
Yes.
Socialism ultimately comes down to the point that you no longer have your private property, that government elites, bureaucrats, they control the property. They just want you to work for them. And that is the big question that is on the table right now. And we'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio more about that. And, of course, from an economic standpoint, we'll talk to Dr. Brian Dmitrovic in segments 3 and 4, because Maggie Thatcher famously said, you cannot have political freedom if you do not have economic freedom. But speaking of freedom, there are those that have put it all on the line so that we can have legal elections, that we can live in liberty and freedom, and those are our veterans. And on the line with me right now is Mike Foss. He is with the Warrior Bonfire Program, which is a program that supports many of our veterans when they come home. Mike Foss, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
Tell us just quickly about the Warrior Bonfire Program.
Well, what the Warrior Bonfire Program does is we serve Purple Heart recipients, those that were wounded in battle at the hand of the enemy, by doing what we call bonfire retreats around the country, which are focused on recreational therapy, getting in the great outdoors, but mostly camaraderie, bonding, and opening up to each other as they battle that PTSD.
And you have an event coming up for that, to raise money for this, correct?
Yes, ma'am. On Saturday night, November 7th, at the Fournay Museum, we're having diamonds and dog tags. Because of COVID, we can only have 50 people in the room. But people can join us online at fundduel.com/warriorbonfire. We've got some great entertainment, some guest speakers, and we'd love to have everybody tune in at 6 p.m. and watch what we and listen and see what we do.
Well, and you're raising money so that you can actually take our veterans out on these programs. And you said this, I know this camaraderie is so important because combat experience is something that is seared on the hearts of each person that has ever served. And somebody that has not served in combat, they just don't have the same connection. So I know that getting these veterans together is a very important program. And doing this in the great outdoors seems like it's just a great thing to help our veterans.
Yes. And there's healing in the great outdoors. But more than anything, people, when they've been through traumatic experiences, and what's more traumatic than war, can only truly open up with someone that's been through the same experience. And it's amazing how it works. And then they create this support network that they have throughout their life, because I'm convinced post-traumatic stress doesn't go away. People just have to learn how to combat it as they go on.
And for more information, people can go to warriorbonfireprogram.org. That's warriorbonfireprogram.org. I assume that there is a link there then for the event on Saturday night as well.
Yeah. If they just click on fundraisers, go to Diamonds and Dog Tags, it'll direct them on how to get to the FunDuel website and see what we've got going on.
Fantastic. Mike Foss with Warrior Bonfire Program. Thank you so much. And again, that website is warriorbonfireprogram.org. That's warriorbonfireprogram.org. Thank you for your service to our veterans.
Thank you, Kim, and thanks for having me on the show.
Most definitely. Before we go to break, Hooters Restaurants is one of my great partners, and they have 5 locations, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. They have all kinds of specials. They have game day specials to go, a party pack if you're going to have people over. They have lunch specials, Wednesdays or Wings Day, and I would recommend that you go to HootersColorado.com for more information. They have some Kids Eat Free promotions, lunch specials. There's a lot of fun over at Hooters Restaurants, so go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
From the lakes of Minnesota.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She is one of the few people that actually read the complete Obamacare legislation here. And so she did read it, so she understood what was in it, and it concerned her significantly. She's a radiologist. She helps save women's lives by detecting breast cancer. Dr. Jill Vecchio, it's great to have you on the line.
Good morning, Kim.
Lots happened since the last time we talked, Dr. Jill.
I feel like that thing or something from the Addams Family. Absolutely. I mean, I think this could easily end up in the court system. And Trump could still win it. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers from this morning in these different, even Nevada and Arizona. They're saying those, I think Rush Limbaugh even was saying, I've listened to so many programs, that Nevada and Arizona could still be in play.
Don't you find it so interesting that they called Arizona so early, but yet these other states, they did not? And I don't know if you heard in the first segment, we talked about Project Veritas. Actually had a United States Postal Service worker who in Michigan was told to date stamp, hand stamp the previous day's postal date on that so that those votes could be counted. There is all kinds of shenanigans that are going on to steal this election from Donald Trump, because there certainly isn't shenanigans going on to try to get votes for Donald Trump. And that should be concerning to every person, because every illegal vote basically negates your legal vote. And people should be very concerned about that, Dr. Jill.
You think about how many countries in the world have corrupt, and we've been mocking them and laughing at them for decades. Soviet Union, you know, almost every country run by a warlord anywhere, communist countries, socialist countries, that the elections are always fixed, that there's so much pressure on people as to how to vote that they're just not valid anymore. And now the idea that we're looking at our own, the entire country. I mean, we've had states, Minnesota, you know, that found all of these, 7,000 ballots in the trunk of somebody's car, you know, for ballot harvesting, and that's how Al Franken got into the Senate or something. I mean, it's amazing to think that our presidential election will be handled the same way that some of these nefarious elections have been held. I think if it were... I'm happy that under these circumstances that Trump is president, because he'll go after it. He wants to make sure, I believe, that this doesn't happen again, that we put the kibosh on this kind of behavior right now. Otherwise, if we can't trust our elections, the integrity of our elections, then we've lost the entire country. And I know many people have said that, and so I'm repeating it, but it can't be said often enough.
Well, and there was this vote dump. Let's see. That was it in Michigan here? I got to take a look. I think it was in Michigan. 138,339 vote dump, that number of ballots. And all of them were for Biden. And then Matt Walsh over at the Daily Wire. Yeah, that only happens in banana republics. That does not happen in free societies. And Dr. Jill, you were on this when we first met. I had not heard of Cloward and Piven and the motor voter legislation. I hadn't really paid attention. That was passed in 1993 by Bill Clinton when he was president. And that was the first year that he was president. And that started this whole where we're at right now. I think that started on that day in 1993.
Yes, part of it did. And so many states passed legislation for same-day registration. And if you look at the states, you know, at least Colorado I don't remember when we started mail-in voting, but steadily, very quickly, aside from the, you know, the blueprint that I think you've talked about before, but part of that mail-in voting, when is the last time Republicans won significant elections? I mean, it gets less and less and less and less. And now I don't think they have much of anything. We have one congressional seat, maybe. You know,
here in Colorado, yes.
Yeah. I mean, we've lost the Senate. We'll probably never have a Republican governor again. And we've got Secretary of State. So the minute you've got anybody with questionable, and I don't know our Secretary of State, so I'm not, you know, accusing anyone of anything here in Colorado, but certainly you have to look at the Secretaries of State in these states and wonder why they are allowing this. And let's face it, in many of these states, you have to wonder if they're just playing. You have to question, and it has to be investigated, is whether they're doing this intentionally at the Secretary of State level, because they're in charge of the elections.
But what has happened is, I think that, and I've talked to one of the county clerk and recorders, that he feels that ballot integrity, I'm going to say ballot integrity, is very strong here in Colorado, that if a ballot comes in, it will be counted. But the other places where, and I think one of the first things is this voter registration, that you're automatically registered to vote. There has to be responsibility. There has to be civic duty in voting. And the fact that everybody then gets a ballot, then that creates this opportunity, what's called ballot harvesting, where a political party can determine that somebody may vote the way that they would want them to, and then the ballot harvesters make sure that they reach out to that person and that ballot is actually submitted. The problem is I think a lot of people don't understand what the issues really are. That's why Rick Turnquest and I did the Voter's Guide, to really give you the truth. For example, on the Gallagher Amendment, which ended up passing, which put the guardrails on residential property tax increases, people voted to repeal that. And in the Blue Book, the legislators, this was referred by the legislature, in the Blue Book, they wrote both the pro and the con. And so I no longer think that the Blue Book is impartial, and I don't think that it's reliable. And people are confused. Where do they go to find out the real facts on that? And a lot of people don't even look for that, Dr. Jill.
No, a lot of people don't want to make the effort to search out the information that they need to vote. Now, I have a brother who swears that he even looks up the court records of different judges. And he votes on all the judges. It's like, how many people really do that? Matt Arnold
That's
had a
awesome.
Great website. I don't know if he still does. You know, the Clear the Bench. That was a great website. So we went to Matt's website and looked at some of the key decisions that were made, which judges, and decided from there who we wanted to keep, or we didn't vote. And that's the other thing. If you don't understand the issues, don't cast a vote on that issue, because you may be completely negating the vote, a really well thought out vote of somebody who's very well informed. And that, you know, so it's after the fact now. But yes, your point is excellent. And in Colorado, for the coronavirus instructions for the Secretary of State on the voting, there was a provision in their rules on coronavirus that party representatives, in quotes, right? Party representatives were allowed to go into nursing homes and assist the residents in casting their ballots. And it's kind of like,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I'd rather have a family member do it.
Okay. Yeah, most definitely. Dr. Jill, I think that you said there was a point that you wanted to make regarding Trump on this whole thing that's going on right now here. And I guess if Trump would not be victorious, what's your thoughts?
Right. Well, you know, I was talking to my brother yesterday, and he said, at least Republicans will still have the Senate. And I thought, yeah, that's reassuring in some ways. But when you think about it, when Trump came into office, the House and the Senate worked against him for 2 years. With Obamacare, anything Trump attempted to accomplish that he had promised the voters, Paul Ryan was working against him, Mitch McConnell was working against him. And then in 2018, they got voted, you know, we lost the House. So then kind of people started jumping on the bandwagon of Trump, but so many establishment Republicans who had been there for years were still anti-Trump. Then they started to kind of play the game. Now they're riding Trump's coattails. I think of Trump kind of as the big steam engine with a big old cow catcher on the front, you know, those V-shaped big wrought iron things that get rid of logs and stuff on the tracks and kind of throw everything to the side so they can actually get things done. I'm not convinced that the majority of the Republican establishment politicians in the House or the Senate have had a long enough apprenticeship or have really learned enough or are dedicated enough to our country to carry on protecting our constitutional rights without a strong leader like Donald Trump. I'm not sure that they could do it, and if they don't, then 2022, you can count on an all-Democrat House, a Democrat Senate, Democrat president, and then Katie by the doors.
Well, Jill, on that note,
I know, doesn't that cheer you up?
Yeah. Well, we need to pray that every legal vote is counted, and that illegal votes are not counted, and that Donald Trump will prevail. Dr. Jill, we'll talk to you next week. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then?
Exactly. Take care.
Okay. Thanks so much. Jason McBride, on that note, what's your thoughts this morning, Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was unfortunately thinking exactly the same thing that Dr. Jill was. Now, she put it very eloquently. I would just say that Donald Trump became the spine of the Republican Party, and without him there, we will go back to them being spineless again. We might keep the Senate, but they're going to cave into everything just like they did before is the fear that I have. So, you know, that is a concern. I'm glad that we're going to keep the Senate. At least it gives us a chance to temper some of these things. But I do fear that that you'll have enough of them that'll just cave in, that it won't help. So, I'm not much more cheerful.
It is very difficult to stand and be courageous. And Donald Trump, I think, has, as you mentioned, has really given people a spine. What's the future saying this morning?
Well, you know, the futures are actually okay, Kim. I mean, yesterday was a very powerful update on the markets, big up, big powerful volume. We actually got a follow-through day, which, you know, signifies a possible new rally. The futures this morning are strong, up about 350 on the Dow, and people would say, okay, well, what is the market saying? Is it saying that, you know, Trump's going to win and we'll continue to have Trump in there? Well, that's possible. The other possibility is that it's looking at a Biden win, which would, you know, almost certainly mean a push for a huge stimulus that would be unlike the ones we had where the money just goes to individual people. You would see the money go to the big banks and to Wall Street the way that previous stimuluses had, which is, you know, good for stocks, good for the stock market. I don't know if it's as good of a stimulus for day-to-day people, but it might be very big and it might be very advantageous to the stock market. So I think that's why you've had such a strong market the last couple of days, because at least short-term, Kim, it sees a win-win either way.
Okay, and on that note, if, in fact, there's a Biden win, you can be guaranteed that your taxes are going to go up. And if that's the case, there is time right now between now and the end of the year to do some planning. I would recommend people sit down with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management and take a look at your tax strategies, your tax planning for the end of the year, do a discovery session. Time is a wasting, and I'd recommend that people do that, Jason McBride.
Well, certainly, yeah, your tax situation could change, and there may be things you can do about it before it does. So it's smart to look at your tax situation and your overall situation. As I said, some of the happiness in the market may only be short-term on a Biden win, and then maybe not so much after that. So many things to look at and consider.
And people can reach you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, or check out our landing page. That's AIRpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Okay, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Brian Dimitrovic. He is an economic historian. He wrote the co-authored the book in the book JFK and the Reagan Revolution with Larry Kudlow. Can't wait to talk to him to find out what he's thinking might happen here. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. On the line with me is Dr. Brian Dimitrovic. He's an economic historian. He's an author. He co-authored the book JFK and the Reagan Revolution with Larry Kudlow. He's the author of Econoclast, The Rebels Who Sparked the Supply-Side Revolution and Restored American Prosperity. Dr. Brian Dimitrovic, it's been a while since we've talked, and a lot has happened. What's your view on what's happening right now in America?
Yeah, hi, Kim. Good morning. It's really nice to talk to you. Yeah, it's a very strange election, obviously, remains to be strange. I mean, it's disappointing on certain counts. You know, if Joe Biden wins the presidency, that's really an unambitious pick by the American people. You know, machine politician who as vice president presided over long-term economic stagnation. So it would be disappointing if he won, but it looks like there will be divided government.
I find it astounding what has happened with the election results regarding this potential ballot dumping and just the fact that it looks like that the Democrats may be trying to steal this election. What do you think about that, Brian?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm working very closely with Arthur Laffer now. I'm the Richard Strong Scholar at his center. And we spent a lot of time personally with Scott Walker, the former governor of Wisconsin, over the summer. I really actually got to know him fairly well. And Scott Walker was essential in denaturing the nerve center of vote fraud in this country, which has always been Milwaukee. But his regime is gone now, and I think that actually has a lot to do with the dubious turnout in Milwaukee, that he's now a private citizen running the Young Americas Foundation. I also found it very interesting that there was a surge of votes to tip Michigan over from Detroit, because as everyone knows, of course, Detroit has been denuded of its population by two-thirds over the last 20, 30-some years. So there are actually no people in Detroit yet left, and yet that's what tipped Michigan to the Biden column.
From an economic standpoint, I think that everyday hardworking people will see something totally different under a Biden administration versus a Trump administration. Speak to that, please, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, so we've been working, Arthur Laffer and I have been working a lot on tax plans, and Biden's tax plan is completely ridiculous. But I want to point out how scared sometimes these people get Remember, Barack Obama's first big move with tax rates was to keep the Bush-era tax cuts. The Bush-era tax cuts were supposed to expire right then in 2009-10 when Obama was first in office. But he made sure that that tax rate cut that took the top rate down from 40, 39.6 to 35 stayed one more year. He passed the law prolonging the Bush-era tax rate cuts because he knew that in the midst of the Great Recession, if he raised taxes, that would be horrible. I don't even know if Joe Biden is up to that tiny profile and courage that Barack Obama exhibited in 2009.
What about Kamala Harris? Because she, I think, will exert a tremendous amount of influence. And certainly there were questions about Biden out on the campaign trail. What about her policies?
Kamala Harris is a totally unimpressive person who does not understand America at all. And I say that on the basis of the following evidence. It's America's a land of opportunity. You can grow up to be vice president, I guess. Here's somebody who went to law school, not a particularly imaginative course of action. You know, Jeff Bezos got in his car and started a business. Land of opportunities, you went to law school. Okay, that's great. So did Alexander Hamilton. Fine. Then what did you do? You dedicated yourself to being an attorney general, to just getting in the government and forcing your arguments upon people. That's what prosecutors do. They just are loud, and they have the deck stacked on their side, and they make overwrought arguments. This expresses no understanding of what the pulsating heart of America is, which is you can seize these enormous, wide-ranging opportunities. She went into a professional track and then made histrionic arguments for her whole life. This is somebody who doesn't understand America.
How did we get to this point, Dr. Brian Dmytrovich?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very strange situation. This is the first time since Ronald Reagan that we've had a political candidate in Donald Trump who has enormous emotional and charismatic connection with a huge section of the American people. The only competition on the score is Barack Obama, but that doesn't count because the enthusiasm for him in 2008 was really a projection of kind of attitudes on the part of elite whites about how neat they themselves were in voting for him. This is the first time since Reagan that you have a political figure who has deep national appeal among tens of millions of voters who feel just an emotional connection to him, charismatic. So it's very unusual for those kind of people to be one-term presidents. Every other one-term president is notably a failure. You know, George H.W. Bush, Jimmy Carter. If Trump turns out to be that, it's incomparable that you have a successful one-term presidency.
What about the coronavirus? It seemed like we were humming along with things that Dr. Brian Dmytrovich liked, lowering rules and regulations, working towards lowering taxes. And we were having great growth at that particular point in time. The coronavirus hits, and we shut down the economy. I think that that is probably one of the things that even put this election in play. Otherwise, I think that people would look at their pocketbooks and say, yes, I am much better off now than I was 4 years ago. What's your thoughts on that, Brian?
Yeah, Kim, that's a very difficult situation to parse because who knows? Because, you know, I mean, obviously the Democrats, Gretchen Whitmer, and, you know, Biden's plans to shut down the country even more are despicable. However, yes, if the Trump train economically had continued beyond February, it really is inconceivable that he would have lost. In that, if you look at statistics like median family income, you know, the left has been saying for years now that median family income has been stagnating since the 1980s. It went up enormously after the tax cut of 2017. It went up from 69,000, according to their statistics, up to 82,000 median household income, blowing away the steady state of the last 20 years. And the statistics on Latino and African-American unemployment were just absolutely historic. And now all that progress stands to be interrupted.
Question on this, because I've seen that household income had actually increased significantly. Is that number including the tax cuts, or is the tax cuts, the money that people kept in their pocket, is that on top of that increase in household median income?
Well, the key to the increase in household income is that the top 1%, a term that the left made popular, top 1% of income earners, they create all jobs in this country. Every job in the country is created by the top 1%. That is to say, the people who don't need their money for immediate spending invest their money, or save it, which is to say invest it, and that creates all the business expansion and all the entrepreneurial capital in this country. Even those government jobs that are created come from the top 1%, and the top 1% pays 50% of federal income taxes, and then they also create the private jobs that the everyone in the bottom 99% works at. So all jobs, really, you know, in any kind of robust sense, come from the top 1%. So to the degree that the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017 cut corporate rates, cut the personal rates and all that stuff, the main thing that happened is that people with resources devoted them to investments that resulted in jobs and the increase in household income from at the median level from 69 to 82,000.
Brian, normally I do a quote during the very first segment, and I forgot to do that today, and it's probably okay because I was quoting Larry Kudlow, and he said, when businesses don't spend and invest, they don't hire and cannot offer better paying jobs. Business investment and wages are two sides of the same mirror. If a company purchases 5 trucks rather than 10, there are 5 fewer trucking jobs. That's something I don't think Kamala Harris or Joe Biden understand.
I have no idea why Kamala Harris would understand it, because she spent her whole life in government job lawyering. Her job was created by the top 1%, because all the California revenue comes from Silicon Valley. So she's an exhibit A of somebody who has a job because of the top 1%. And that's actually everyone else in this country, too. So if these guys want to raise the capital gains rate to 40% and et cetera, I don't have a really good job scenario for the country. So it would be a shame if that's the outcome.
Dr. Brian Dmytrovic, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I have a question to ask you. Could we become Venezuela? And we'll be back to talk about that. Before we go to break, though, I want to give a shout out to one of my great sponsors, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool. Family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have a wider range of blades to choose from. They work with the best blade makers throughout the world. Whether or not you're a collector or a sportsman, military personnel, need some new kitchen knives, how about a wedding gift? Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go. Be sure and check them out at castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Brian Dmytrovic. The question on the table is, could we become Venezuela?
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. On the line with me is Dr. Brian Dmytrovic. He is an economic historian, and he is an expert on supply side economics. He's written some important books, JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History to American Prosperity. He wrote that with Larry Kudlow, who, and Larry is one of President Trump's economic advisors, as well as Econoclast, the rebels who sparked the supply side revolution and restored American prosperity. Brian Dmitrovic, I remember Venezuela being a very prosperous country. And now people don't have toilet paper, they don't have food, they don't have medicine. Could America become Venezuela?
Venezuela was the bourgeois jewel of Latin America, competing for that title with Argentina for many years. The Hugo Chavez transition was simply horrible. I mean, it was based primarily on the ability to harbor the natural resource of oil, just like Argentina's fascist and then leftist takeover was based on the government's ability to harbor its gold back in the 40s, beginning with Juan Perón. So fortunately, I don't see the American government's ability to harbor a national resource to finance itself and then to impose leftism, because the chief instrument of the federal government's finance is the top 1%. So if you treat them rudely, the goose that lays the golden egg will not provide.
But it seems like they probably won't treat the top 1% rudely. What I've seen is a real assault on middle America with the coronavirus shutdowns. The big box stores stayed open. The mom and pops were deemed non-essential and they closed down. What I see is this big assault on middle America, this big, broad middle class. And we see it a lot with policies out here in Colorado, that the big guys tend to, like economic development offices, they pick winners and losers. The big guys can sometimes get tax breaks or tax incentives, but it's the mom and pop, the middle class, that I think is under assault. And if we lose the middle class, I think we could become Venezuela, Brian.
Kim, you're totally correct that the purpose of the left in government is to make the top 1% corrupt. So when there are low tax rates and there's low regulation, the top 1% competes against each other. When there are high tax rates and high regulations, then the top 1% becomes a crony with the government, and that bloodies their hands. So in the first scenario, with small government, the top 1% competes with itself and produces great benefits for the populace. In the left-wing scenario, the top 1% has to play ball with the government and necessarily becomes corrupt. The effect on the lower classes, so to speak, in each case, is in the first case, when the top 1% is left alone, the middle and lower classes flourish. And in the second case, they become wards of the state. So I think that's the Biden-Harris AOC scenario.
We here in Colorado, we the voters, passed a big government thing, and that was, quote-unquote, a sin tax on tobacco and vaping products, nicotine products. We passed a $294 million tax increase on these products. And actually, as my researcher Patty has noted, is it increases the cost of cigarettes and these products significantly, and price fixes it. And as we were looking at those who were pro and con, the big tobacco companies were in favor of this because, in essence, it's going to put out of business the discount cigarette makers. And we, the people in Colorado, did that, not just the legislators, although it was referred to the ballot by the legislature. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think everyone in Colorado should read Arthur Laffer's book, which was commissioned by Philip Morris, called The Handbook of Tobacco Taxation. Big tobacco has always said that we want big taxes on our products. And the main reason is that it addicts government to the revenue. The addiction model follows with taxation. Once you addict these governments, particularly small countries around the world, to tobacco revenue, they can't do anything but make sure that big tobacco companies stay in business. They need the money. I suggest one more thing to Colorado. Okay, you're having big excise taxes. That's an old tradition in this country, excise taxes at the state and federal level. Great, we'll eliminate your income tax. That's still over 4%, isn't it?
It is, and in fact, we did pass lowering our state income tax rate, which is, I think, a great thing, which I find this so interesting. Here in Colorado, first of all, we elect people that have these big government policies, but yet when it comes to our own pocketbooks, we vote for lower taxes, and we voted for lower fees as well, and these big fees that we have here. But yet there's something I think that it's, I think it's kind of a character issue that we would vote that other people pay higher taxes, but not us. But I guess that's probably human nature, Brian.
Well, you're not going to like this comparison, but you are stepping right into the lead in Colorado of Massachusetts. Massachusetts, for decades now, has sent the most liberal people it can figure, the most progressive left-wing people it can find, to the federal government in Washington, from Barney Frank to Ed Markey to Ted Kennedy to Elizabeth Warren. But so often it has a Republican governor, not only right now, Paul Cellucci, James Swift, Bill Weld, who ran on the Libertarian ticket against Donald Trump last time, all recent Republican governors of Massachusetts. Heck, New York City does the same thing with its Republican mayors. So that, I'm afraid, if Colorado's doing that, it's following in the footsteps of the most glorious liberal states in the country.
So the question is it messaging? Is it that we don't get the message right to people as we are working in these elections? What do you think, Brian?
I fear that it's becoming, to act like Massachusetts and New York City is to take on a bad kind of elitism, is to mature into a kind of elitism that this country does need to blow the wage. If you're really succeeding, Denver, Colorado, then act like a real elite and bring reform across the country.
Okay. Do you watch Colorado much, Brian? I know that you spent time out here as one of the visiting professors of conservative thought and policy at CU. Are you able to watch us much, what's happening here?
Yeah, I do. I'm still on the board of advisors of the Benson Center for Western Civilization at CU Boulder, and I still come out all the time for that. And I know Jared Polis is just one of Arthur Laffer's lifelong friends. He became an intern at Laffer's firm at the age of 14 in California, and he talks to Arthur Laffer several times a week. And I know that those discussions are all about getting that income tax rate down. So we can talk about tobacco taxes and all that, but if Colorado takes a step to eliminate income tax, which nine states have no income tax right now, you're going to see a capital infusion into that state and a jobs boom that would really embarrass the rest of the West, including California.
A question. I know that Jared Polis and Arthur Laffer are good friends, and it seems that Arthur is a free market guy, less government intervention, but yet Polis has done a whole bunch of executive orders on this coronavirus thing. It's just difficult for me to match those two things up, Brian.
Yeah, I can't. There's some strange tug at the bottom of these people that they have to be interventionists, and I can't account for that. I don't know. What I do know is that somehow you have a Democratic governor who is interested, probably, in eliminating the income tax. I would go with that bird in hand, and I would not assume that there are not going to be some kind of bizarre trade-offs along down the line from regulations and restrictions and tobacco taxes. If you can couple that with an income tax cut, I would take it and declare victory, because your option is Gavin Newsom in California, among other winners we know from the so-called blue states. And if you can eliminate that income tax, I would be very happy with the result.
Okay, we just have a couple of minutes. What about property taxes? We talked about getting rid of the income tax, but what about property taxes? Because that seems like that is a place that they try to make it up in.
Well, let me not be confusing. There has to be a serious reduction in the total tax burdens. No, so there cannot be a simple tax switch to get property taxes. This is what Illinois is essentially contemplating. Well, notice that this remarkably failed state did not get the income tax increase that its elites wanted. That measure failed on the ballot a couple of days ago.
Yes.
And so what Illinois has done is just increased property taxes to the point where there's flight. And the only reason the flight isn't greater is that people are stuck there because they can't unload their property, their houses where they live. So that's a very dangerous road for Colorado to go down. You really are going to limit the flexibility of the labor market if you increase property tax rates.
Okay. Where can people find all of your writings and all that you're doing, Brian Dmytrovic?
We have a new website, thelaffercenter.org, laffercenter.org.
Okay. And what's your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning, Dr. Brian Dmytrovic?
It's time to intimidate any Biden-Harris administration into not increasing taxes and to force them to deal with the Democratic legacy of cooperating with Republicans on shrinking government.
Okay. Dr. Brian Dmytrovic, thank you so much. It's a historic time right here in America. I am praying for a Donald Trump victory because otherwise we have other kinds of work to do. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Great talking to you, Kim.
Okay, my friends, it is a historic time. I know that many of us are weary, but we need to continue to pray for our country. The divine provider has had his hand on America since the very beginning of this country, and I don't think that he's going to leave us now. And our quote on that, though, is Larry Kudlow. He said that Democrats like Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders want to raise taxes on the rich, saying it will solve inequality. It won't. All that will do is significantly reduce incentives to work, save, and invest. But I say inequality is not the problem. The problem is a lack of growth. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
On a rough road, riding high, through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home. Young, like a new